Hello, this is the Green Report Rappler Show on the environment and the stories of people whose decisions impact the world around us. I'm G. Geronimo.
And I'm Iya Gozum.
It's been a year since President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. took his oath as the 17th Philippine president, following historic electoral win with more than 31 million votes. Rappler recently released a series of in-depth reports and analyses assessing the Marcos administration's first year in office. And for the environment, we looked at the DNR Secretary Tony Yulo Loizaga's performance, as well as the Oriental Mindoro oil spill. For both stories, ginawa yun ni Iya here, who is now our environment reporter here at Rappler. Yes! Ano mo nang feel? Congratulations, Iya!
Wow. Hashtag some personal news.
Oo. Ayan. So both stories, si Iyang gumawa nung ano natin. And anong kamusta? Kamusta yung so far as an environment reporter?
So far, well, isang buwan pa lang naman.
Ay, wow! Nakaisa na siya!
Isang buwan. Well, exciting siya. Hindi naman yun, ano. Pero, less morning walks with my dogs. With my dogs.
Dogs.
Oo. Pero exciting, oo. Mm. Sobrang fulfilling din.
Grabe lang, isang buwan, parang ang dami na nangyari. Isang buwan pa lang pala yun.
Isang buwan pa lang pala siya.
Yeah, but we're expecting more stories from you. And it, well, syempre, you started your first month with a bang. Ito nga yung ating mga stories for the first year of the Marcos administration.
Siguro, if we're talking about the Marcos year one stories, pag-usapan muna natin yung selection of the topics as desk editor. Parang ano yung naging vetting process? Paano yung naging selection process? Bakit? Why did you give me the assignments na gawa ng profile? Si DNR Secretary Loizaga and also to go back to Oriental Mindoro.
Yung Oriental Mindoro, medyo ano naman na yun. I think that's the more obvious choice for a year one analysis piece. Kasi nga, it's the biggest environmental crisis of the administration. And ang laki talaga niya when you consider. Akala ko nga magiging ang pinakamalaking mararanasan niya is. And nangyari naman, merong mga bagyo in the past na malaki-laki rin. Pero hindi ko inakala na oil spill yung magiging first biggest environmental crisis ng Marcos administration. It really showed the cracks, as we will discuss later on your stories. Pero dun talaga nakita talaga natin yung mga ininherit na sistema ni Marcos na, of course, you can say on the first year na inherited pa lang naman namin tong mga problema na to. But at some point, when do you do something about those issues? So that's one. And then, for the profile of our secretary, from the get-go naman actually, di ba? Like, parang when we started this podcast, very curious na tayo kung kamusta si Environment Secretary Loizaga. Considering nung credentials niya, what we've been hearing, but also because we haven't been seeing much of her in the first few months. And I'd say, mga siguro, ilang months pa yon into, kailan lang talaga natin siya nakipag-usap sa media. Nung oil spill na, coincidentally, yes. Di ba? So parang,
Not even then, parang 2 months bago siya nag-one-on-one.
Or like a few months after. Pero parang, yung curious ka kasi kung sino tong in-appoint, sino siya, ano yung, aside from what is being said about her, ano na yung nagawa niya.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very fitting, alam ko, usually, gagawan mo ng profile pagka-appoint pa lang eh. Pero while we did a story on that, nung mga pagka-appoint, parang it's really just ano yung in-expect natin sa kanya. But now that we're 1 year into the administration, I think that's enough time to see. Kasi that the first year will always be a peak of ano yung priority ng secretary. Yes. Ano yung, kasi uunahin niya, like parang titingnan niya kung ano yung mga nangyari before from the past admin and ano yung mga gusto niyang gawin in this administration or in her office. So, I think 1 year is a good enough time to do this profile. And
yeah, to see her priorities.
Yes. And kung sino siya from the lens of the people around her.
Yes.
If, syempre, the ideal thing is to actually interview her, and yeah, we hope na
someday.
Oo, na ma-interview natin si Sec Loizaga. Malay mo dito sa show natin, di ba? Pero until then, we have the people around her to tell us what it's like to be her and what it's like for her to work on the issues that yung naging priority ng kanyang office. Mm-hmm. Pero let's go back to the Oriental Mindoro story, which is, ito actually yung una nating nilabas na story for the year one. And I remember nung tinawagan kita to explain na babalik ka ng Oriental Mindoro. Yeah. Okay. And again, as we said earlier, parang kaka-start lang nga ni Iya as a reporter. So it's just like weeks into when you started. So what, I mean, anong kinabahan ka ba nung sinabi namin na Iya, gusto ka naming bumalik sa Oriental Mindoro?
Hindi, excited ako. Actually, I was telling G, nung nando kami sa Mindoro, parang kinakamusta niya ako. Nakakamusta mo ako.
Mm.
Tapos, sabi ko, G, nagigilty ako kasi nag-enjoy ako talaga. Baka masyado ako nag-enjoy, meron akong makalimutan na gawin.
Mm.
Pero yun, nung sinabi na babalik, parang I was excited kasi, well, yun naman yung idea natin ng journalist, ng reporter. Mm. You go, pupunta ka sa field.
Yes.
And then you talk to the people there.
Mm-hmm.
So, ayun, wala naman talaga kasing katumbas yung maka-interact mo yung mga tao doon. Mm. Kesa dun sa yung makita mo sa Facebook yung
updates.
Videos nila, yung updates, mm-hmm, or statement ng mga mayor. Parang iba pa rin yung human interaction na makausap mo yung. So, nung nakausap ko nga si Mayor Jennifer Cruz, nalaman ko na mahilig din pala siyang tumakbo. So, hindi ko naman yung malalaman kung nakita ko lang yung mga statement sa Facebook.
Pero, I mean, di ba, nagpadala din tayo ng team during the first days of the oil spill. Mm-hmm. And, paano yung naging mindset mo going into the field now that this is like more than 100 days na into the oil spill, and then we're also assessing the government through this piece, parang nagkaroon ka ng ganung lens nung bumaba ka. Hindi na lang basta tipong hindi ko alam kung ano yung dadatnan ko doon, alam mo na. Mm-hmm. you generally have an idea of what you will see there, and actually you went there like a few days after sabihin ng PCG na recover na nila most of the oil spill from MT Princess Empress. So, parang kinabahan ka ba? Na baka wala ka nang gagawin doon? Or anong naging nangyari nung pumunta ka doon?
Actually, naging concern yun. Na parang, di ba, kasi 4 months na eh.
Mm-hmm.
So, parang, meron pa bang storya? O napiga na ba lahat? Kasi, ayun na nga eh, tanggal na yung langis. So, ano na yung aabutan namin doon? Kasi, parang in-expect ko na rin na baka pagdating namin doon, yung mga photos nung, yung mga nakita nating photos ng mga bato na anuhan talaga ng langis. Like, wala ka nang dadatnan na dramatic or anything. Mm-hmm.
Unlike before, na yung oil spill talaga kitang-kita mo sa.
O, tas naka-PPE, diba? Pero, that's the point na parang 4 months na.
Mm-hmm.
So, the question is, kamusta na sila?
Mm-hmm.
So, going there, parang, yung one word na paulit-ulit sa utak ko is frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi umaattend din ako ng mga hearings before.
On the oil spill.
Yeah, on the oil spill. And then, sobrang daming unresolved issues na parang drawn out na siya, 4 months na, na parang andaling sabihin na wala nang storya kasi tapos na, ubus na, natanggal na yung langis.
Mm-hmm.
Parang mga puro aftermath, ano na lang na procedures, whatever. Pero yun yung paulit-ulit na word sa akin na frustration. So, nag-focus, yung focus talaga, yung mga mangingisda.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi, kung i-assess mo yun yung goal, di ba? We assess the administration through this, the biggest environmental crisis that they're facing in their first year. It all boils down to, ano na yung nararamdaman ng mga residente, tsaka ng mga mangingisda. Kasi, yung interconnectedness ng mga issues nung ginawa lahat ng government agencies, sila naman yung makakaramdam noon kung naging okay ba yung pamimigay ng ayuda ng DSWD, kung umaksyon ba agad yung DENR, kung ano yung epekto nung matagal yung testing ng DABFAR. So yun, it all boils down to ano na yung status ngayon ng mga mangas?
At saka sila they will have to deal with kung ano yung nag, yeah, kung, okay, kumbaga nakaalis na lahat, nakaalis na yung mga malalaking tumutulong, yung mga
yung media nakaalis
mga,
na.
Nakaalis na yung mga media, pero sila yung matitira doon eh. Sila yung magse-stay to see, to have to live another day.
Yes.
To deal with the aftermath of the ano.
Araw-araw nila.
Oo. And it's not as easy as saying na lipat na lang sila ng ibang lugar eh, kasi yes, pamilya nila nandun, di ba? Now that you mentioned na yun nga, ang daming agencies eh, inter-agency, this is a tier 3 oil spill. Why focus on the fisher folk? Parang bakit sa dami ng pwede mong anggulong tingnan at sa dami ng pwedeng siyasatin na mga nangyari during the past 4 months, bakit yung fisher folk? And also, when you read into that story, the title of the story is Marcos' First Environmental Crisis Leaves Fisher Folk Behind. Yung naging, ano, kumbaga yung naging focus ng story mo is really the Bureau of Fisheries and Aquatic Resources, which is under the Department of Agriculture, which is under our president.
Concurrently.
So ano yung, bakit dun ka nag-focus and ano yung mga nalaman mo pa through your storytelling?
Babalik ako dun sa bilin mo sa akin bago ako, bago ako umalis.
Okay. Kasi, bumalik sa akin.
Kasi G was telling me,
huwag ka masyadong mag-enjoy.
hindi naman. Sabi niya, think visual, think local. Parang hanapin mo yung mga kwento na hindi mo makukuha kung wala ka doon. So naturally, doon ako sa mga nandoon, sa locals, sa residente, sa mga mangingisda. And I think kung hindi ko sila like nakausap in person, paano lalabas yung may mga nangingisda pala kahit na bawal. Kasi hindi, wala silang choice eh, gutom sila eh, wala silang maipapakain sa pamilya nila na nababaon sila sa utang, na yung mga savings nila ng pamilya nila nauubos na kasi wala na nga silang, wala silang livelihood. Tapos doon din nakita ko yung, dahil nga sa pagkausap sa kanila, mararamdaman mo yung urgency na inaano nila na tanggalin na yung fishing ban kasi kailangan na nila ng they need their livelihood back. Even though they know na most probably may mga toxic components pa. Parang ano na yun eh, parang hindi na yun yung nasa priority talaga nila isipin. Kailangan nila buhayin yung pamilya nila.
Pero dun sa kumbaga kung paano siya kumonekta dun sa kung gaano kabilis or kabagal ang pagresponde ng gobyerno para hindi na ma-prolong tong fishing ban na to. Parang kumbaga, I don't know if that's reported enough, pero yun yung naging focus ng story mo kasi, 'di ba, na parang kung mas mabilis yung pag-test, therefore mas mabilis siguro
matatanggal
yung fishing ban.
Yeah.
Oo.
Kasi pati mga experts eh, sinasabi nila na kung meron lang sanang technological capability, kung meron tayong ano, yung updated na technology, infrastructure to do the testing na mas mabilis, then most probably, ayun nga, matatanggal na yung fishing ban. And then, mababalik na yung livelihood sa mga mangis.
Meron bang mga naging reaction sa story mo nung since lumabas siya? Or, kumbaga,
kasi wala naman akong nakitang violent reaction na, kasi I think, ano eh, parang mali siya na nangingisda yung iba, kahit bawal. Pero naiintindihan ng mga tao. Kasi yun din yung sinabi ng isang mangisda, no? Sinabi niya na, nahuli siya ng isang taga Philippine Coast Guard. Pero sinita lang siya. Sabi ko, bakit hindi ho kayo, ano, bakit hindi ko? Sabi niya, kasi siguro naiintindihan nila na kasi 4 na buwan na eh, wala pa rin silang stable na hanap buhay.
So hopefully. 'Di ba? I mean, kasi we're going into the budget season na and if there's anything that we learned from the Oriental Mindoro oil spill, kailangan natin talaga ng upgrade sa, hindi lang sa BFAR, pati din sa PCG. We also had a story about that. And kung paano natin, yung, kasi unfortunately, hindi naman natin masasabi na wala na magiging oil spill in the future. Actually, even before this oil spill, meron ng mga oil spill na mas maliliit in magnitude. So parang right now, ang hope natin is if it does happen again, mas magiging equipped na yung mga agencies and natin and prepared. Pero syempre, that's still something na kailangan pa rin nating we still have to hold those agencies accountable. Yes. Eventually sana. kung magkaroon ng budget to buy those things, kung maging priority siya. And actually, mag-ano nga tayo ng magkakaroon in a few months, hindi pala, this month na pala yun, ang first State of the Nation address ni President Marcos. So, tingnan natin kung mami-mention niya ang oil spill, siguro.
Well, dapat.
Siguro naman, di ba? At kung ano yung mga dagawin ng kanyang gobyerno para ma-improve na yung pag-responde sa mga disasters like this. Now we go to the second one, which is a piece, a profile on the Environment Secretary. Yun nga, nabanggit ko nga kanina na a year ago, we were so fascinated by this appointment kasi, hindi man fascinated, ano lang, hopeful lang. Gabi naman yung fascinated.
Interested.
We were so hopeful pala of this, because, ano siya eh, in paper, she's the best.
Yes.
Or she's one of she
has the credentials.
She has the credentials to take over this office. Climate advocate siya, expert siya on disaster. So, parang when you think about it, and climate change is the biggest issue that we have in the environment. Of course, 'di ba? Ang ganda. Pero after you did this profile, ano yung mga natutunan mo about the leadership style ng ating Environment Secretary?
Well, nandun naman siya sa headline na she's someone who plays by the rules. And she's someone who takes her time to understand the bureaucracy, the system that she's working in. And she's someone who's very particular in technical excellence, kung paano madi-deliver efficiently yung services ng department. Actually, nung binigay yung assignment nito sa akin, medyo...
Actually, parang hindi ka pa nga ata officially reporter nung sina. Hindi, parang sinabi ko na kasi na... actually, ang sabi ko kay Iya is, if you want to be introduced to the beat, kasi nga bago siyang environment reporter, if you want to be introduced to the beat, then you start learning about the people inside.
Way, way before pa to. Parang nasa vacation yata. Nasa beach yata tayo.
Grabe naman. Grabe naman. Grabe mo binunyag mo na nagbibigay ako ng trabaho habang
nagtatapos sa beach. Oh, parang nasa dagat tayo nun. Tapos sabi mo, ang maganda gawa ng profile si Loisa.
Pero hindi, to be clear, hindi ko siya parang uto. Saka naman parang talk ko lang siya. Parang magandang gawa lang ang profile.
Oo. Pero I understand na to know her, to know her leadership, and to know the status of the DNR now, you can focus on her. Mm-hmm. Diba? Siya yung angulo mo para makita mo yung inner working sa DNR. Yung I think yung challenge lang talaga is parang near impossible makakuha ng interview with her.
And, well, and although dahil bago ka, that's one factor.
Yeah,
but also, even if kung luma man si... Luma?
Luma.
I mean, kung matagal veteran or seasoned reporter man si Iya, it doesn't matter because actually, the secretary, yun nga, isa sa mga criticism sa kanya ay hindi siya halos humaharap sa...
Hindi siya nagpapakita.
Hindi siya halos nagpapakita. Correct.
Ayun. So, yun, isa sa mga challenge. Tapos, parang hindi hirap din hagilapin yung other high-ranking officials who has the experience and the knowledge of first-hand experience kung paano in-execute yung leadership. Mm. Kasi parang yung ano ko noon, parang I can parse through her speeches, her pronouncements, her press releases, kung ano yung gusto niya mangyari sa DNR. Pero syempre, dapat meron pa rin mga nagsasabi na ito talaga yung ginagawa niya. Ganito niya i-steer yung department
or what explains those decisions. Kasi syempre, by the time na i-release mo na to the public yung mga decision mo, meron ng nangyaring discussion sa loob.
Yung dynamics.
Kung bakit yun yung naging, for example, even kung ano yung mga priority projects niya or ano yung mga... And, well, for the benefit of those who are tuning in, ano nga ba yung mga priority niya? for her first year in office?
Well, isa sa mga priorities ni Secretary is the natural capital account.
Mm-hmm.
So yun talaga, gusto niya talaga mag-focus dun sa meron tayong overview na i-collecta natin yung data ng ano yung meron yung Pilipinas. Natural resources, water basins,
mm-hmm.
Forest cover. So yan lahat. Kasi sabi niya, ngayon, yung pag-compute natin ng economic value sa GDP, goods and services lang, hindi nakakalimutan yung natural resources, mm-hmm. which is something na naapektuhan, na kailangan din ng bawat Pilipino. So yun, isa yun sa mga projects niya. And then, she has this pet project, yung project Transform,
mm-hmm.
na harks back to her decades experience of working with different sectors. So this project, parang pinagsasama-sama yung private sector, di ba na pinagsasama-sama, nililink yung private sector, government agencies, and other groups
mm-hmm.
to create projects in LGUs.
Pero kung titingnan mo yung mga binanggit mo, sobrang technical niya. Mm-hmm. Kumbaga, hindi, pag inisip mo ang environment, and siguro dun sa mga tulad ko na nag-cover kay Secretary Gina Lopez from few years back, na kapag kinumpara mo na yung time na yun, kasi very dynamic si Secretary Gina Lopez, diba? Na parang talagang at saka sobrang pasabog talaga yung first, hindi, ilang months nga lang siya in office eh. Pero at ang pumunta agad siya dun sa pinaka-controversial
na, mining agad.
Like, wala na siyang paligoy-ligoy. Pero when you look at yung mga pinili ni Secretary Loizaga, of course, though very important, hindi siya yung tipong very, yun ya.
It won't create headlines.
What does that tell you about how she leads the department?
Well, on surface, ibig sabihin wala siyang, well, di ko alam kung tama na sabihin na wala siyang pakialam. Pero nasa baba ng priority niya yung mileage niya sa media.
Mm-hmm.
If she's making enough waves, if she's making enough spark.
If, para, kung kumokonekta yung message niya,
yes, parang,
to the public.
Meron siyang vision, meron siyang program, and then i-execute niya yun. And then, sabi niya nga dun sa interview niya with Karen Davila, sabi niya, I'm not a politician.
Mm.
So parang wala sa ano niya yung ano yung parang, kailangan by my first year, ito, tsaka ito, magawa ko para yan yung ano ko, legacy. Or whatever sa unang taon ko.
Hindi ganun yung thinking niya. Hindi na parang ano yung gagawin ko. Pero for you, ang ano niya is, ito yung trabaho kong kailangan kong gawin.
Tingin ko, dahil ang tagal na rin niya doon sa ganung line of work,
mm.
parang the DNR secretary post is just one post. Parang continuity na lang siya ng mga dati na niyang ginagawa.
But of course, when you look at the DNR, it's a very political spot, di ba? Na parang, of course, kasi in-appoint siya first, so that is a political decision. But second, you have to deal with, unlike yung mga sectors na she had to deal with before, di ba? Ngayon, iba't ibang sulok ng sector eh, ng environmental industry sector, di ba? Yung kailangan niyang, so, kumbaga, meron na ba, mas nagpapakita na ba siya ngayon? Mas, nare-realize na ba niya yung importance na makita siya ng hindi lang ng media but the public kasi sila naman public naman especially the communities na kailangan ng tulong ng environment
yung interview niya sa Head Start ng April parang inamin naman niya that's something na kailangan niyang trabahuhin na yun na na-realize na kailangan talaga na ano. And then, hindi ko alam kasi dahil kung bago lang ako, nakakakuha na ako, ang daming press release, and then ng World Environment Month, sa isang linggo, dalawang beses siyang nag-event, nagpakita sa media.
Mm.
Pero yun, kahit na ganun, limited pa rin
exposure.
Yung questions. Parang kinakat agad.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we take what we can get.
No, you push for push. More.
Ayaw ko, like, push. Kasi
kailangan you push for ano.
Nung, kailan ba yun, after yung tree planting, may press ko ni. Tapos kinakat na sa akin. Sabi ko, hindi po, isa lang po. Isa lang po talaga. Isa lang po.
This is what we have to deal with, no? As journalists.
Kaya ka naman ako.
Oh, ay, de, kailangan magpakita ka lang na magpakita kay Sec Loizaga. Malay mo, di ba? Ma-invite na.
Ma'am.
Iyon talaga yung ma-invite natin siya dito sa ating munting show. But you ended your profile with this line. You said na she is, wait, nakalimutan ko yung first part nung...
The environment secretary ends her first year neither with a bang nor with a whimper.
Uh-oh, but instead, the second line goes, instead she leaves the public waiting. So what are you expecting from the secretary now that we're going into year 2?
I am expecting yun yung point kasi hindi naman siya yung tipong official na parang ang pangat ng mga ginawa nung unang taon or wala talagang ginawa nung unang taon para i-ano mo na siya, like i-dismiss mo na siya na parang wala, it's not working. Parang, I think nag-come up din dun sa isang buong linggo na ginawa natin yung, na tinabaho natin yung stories na maybe she's warming up, maybe it's just the first year.
Pero doesn't that posit the question na should you really still be warming up into a position na as important as the head of an environment department at a time when climate change is so urgent. Alam ko naman na alam niya na climate change is urgent, di ba? Pero parang it's a second year. I think wala, hindi niya pwedeng, well, I don't think she used that as an excuse though na a year pa lang, so like give me time. Pero at going into the second year, we hope that we will see more of the
maybe
secretary.
The person that she is, she would take stock of kung ano man yung criticisms. Parang hindi rin naman niya siguro mamasamain or parang i-dismiss yung criticisms na meron naman talagang, kasi totoo naman eh, galing siya sa sector na hindi exposed sa public as much, but now that she's DNR secretary, she's a public official. It's just, hanapin talaga siya ng media para magde-demand din talaga yung public sa kanya na makita siya, may marinig something from her.
And I think it's also being aware of how you should communicate your what your department is doing. Hindi ko alam kung meron siyang spokesperson or siya yung spokesperson, but yeah, that's what we're going to yun yung babantayan natin into her second year and
any development in the communication department.
Pero how about the writing process? Parang what was your takeaway after since I assigned the stories to you, siguro in ano, isang question lang, like, what did you struggle with the most when you were working on both stories? Parang nagka-amnesia siya na, nakalimutan parang, ni Iya since nailabas
na yun. It's a traumatic week, so parang na-erase na siya sa utak ko. Magkaiba yung struggle eh. Yung struggle kasi dun sa Loizaga profile, yung paghahanap ng sasagot. Kasi parang, di mo naman pwedeng, parang a piece that important and a piece na, a profile for that kind of person, it really needs a human witness. Input.
Witness.
More than quotes, yeah. Di ba? Kasi parang working on a profile, you're also indirectly judging or assessing not just her work, but her character. Kasi titingnan mo yung approach niya sa mga issues. Ano yung priority niya? Bakit yun yung priority niya? Bakit ito yung inuuna niya? Bakit ayaw niya magpakita sa media kahit na hinahanap siya? So, yun. Parang yun yung mentally, yun yung parang burden sa akin.
Yeah.
Tapos, syempre, knowing na she's longer in this field than me. Not even born yet. Pero yun, so yun, nandun yung burden. And I, parang personally, I felt like I don't want to misjudge.
Well, that's the role naman of an act of an actor, sasabihin ko. Of a journalist.
Yeah, oo.
Diba? We want to keep it. Mm-mm. We want to report it as accurately. We just want to report the truth. Yeah. So, even in doing a profile on mm-hmm. someone as important as our environment secretary, of course, we want to know all the sides and we want to know sino talaga siya. And I think dun ka pinaka nag-struggle. Yeah.
Tapos dun sa writing process ng profile, I remember yung isa nating isa sa mga pinakaano nating discussion ay yung isa sa mga nauna ko kasing headline is Loizaga as both an advocate and a bureaucrat. Mm. So interested kasi ako doon sa paano yung ganitong two sides na parang sa tingin ng mga tao mutually exclusive siya eh. Kasi for example, Gina Lopez was an advocate but she's not much of a bureaucrat. She's impatient sa legal process. And then you have the other government officials na bureaucrat, but for someone na mag-head ng ganitong politicized department, not much of an advocate. So interested ako dun sa, maybe she's someone who balances these two things. Mm-hmm. So parang yun yung gusto kong i-pursue. And then eventually, nung nandun na sa editing, revising process, parang hinahanap mo na nasa na yung advocate part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, parang we had to cut that down.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi, parang nire-assess din natin how we define an advocate. Na parang, we're looking, if we're saying she's an advocate, we're looking for someone who's really pushing, like, the boundaries.
Mm.
But I think one can argue na may limitations, may certain restraints na given someone na nag-head na ng isang bureaucracy, ng isang government agency as big as the DNR. But still, di ba? If you call someone an advocate, lalo na a government official, parang higher standards. Mm-hmm. Parang kailangan may pinupush talaga siya sa loob. Doon naman sa oil spill, I think yung nahirapan ako is, dami na kasi nangyari.
Tapos, ano pa ang dapat isulat? Ganon?
Hindi. Ang dami nangyari. So, parang ang dami nasa...
Okay.
Organizing it into what's new, yung angle, tapos, yun. So, parang ang haba niyan, umpisa.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had to trim it down, we had to fine-tune the angle. Ayun. Mas yun ang naging problema sa oil spill.
But, tapos na. Both stories ay na. So, maghahanap na ulit ako ng i-assign kay...
Naluwal na.
Oo. Kay Iya.
So, I think, given na dun sa writing process, as an editor, parang, ano yung ina-expect mo na maging atake ng reporter mo? Yes, ng reporter mo. Sa issues na to. Given na this is the first year, parang we're expecting na harsh na agad yung approach, or are we more forgiving, softer, or are you expecting another angle?
Honestly, wala akong ina-expect other than that you be truthful. Very, very, yung question. Pero totoo, kasi hindi naman... Kasi ako din, hindi din naman ako exposed to Secretary Loizaga. So I'm also as curious as you are about who she is. And as in ano lang talaga siya? Curiosity about someone who is holding this very important post. So kung ano yung ibigay mo sa akin from whatever you got for your profile, I'll take it. Kasi kahit ako, hindi ko rin talaga alam kung sino pa talaga siya. Because nga, very limited lang yung access natin to her as a person. Of course, we know her pronouncements, we know her priorities. And yun nga eh, even the priorities, they are so new, kumbaga. Kasi, geospatial office.
Geospatial data office.
Parang, bakit ito yung mga priorities ng secretary natin? Are they misplaced? We don't know, di ba? Parang, is there something that we are not seeing, that she is seeing? Yun yung mga gusto kong malaman. And I think that your profile really gave me that input or gave me that view of who she is as a leader na nakikit, may siguro mas I don't know, baka meron siyang mas may foresight siya, like Hindi, nakita niya yung lahat. I don't know. Pero the profile that you did was explained so much about what we've seen from her so far. For the oil spill, I think it's ano naman yun. That is more of an assessment piece talaga on Marcos more than the oil spill itself. Kasi as you said, it's been 4 months, so madami na din talaga na i-report about it. And the tendency is to go overload in information about it. Pero ang maganda sa bumaba tayo at binalikan natin yung communities affected
is that we can pin it down.
Yes, that we can see na hindi lang ito yung nakikita namin sa social media na sinasabi na kulang pa ganyan. Ito talaga yung naranasan pa ng communities. And those people won't lie to you eh. Kasi that's their everyday reality. So, whatever is happening to the fisher folk in those communities, that reflects kung successful ba talaga yung naging approach or yung naging response ng government natin to this oil spill. So, it's always good to assess something as big as this and huwag bitawan, kumbaga, yung storya. Other people or other media, alam ko naman na maraming sinundan talaga tong Oriental Mindoro oil spill. This is really a big environmental disaster. And tama lang na even into the first year of the president, hindi natin hahayaan that it will just be lost in the news cycle. Diba? And I think it's very important that tama na we really did the profile on this crisis.
And siguro to add to that, parang one of the, yung common denominator sa mga, kasi since unang taon na ni President Marcos, hindi lang din naman Rappler yung naglalabas ng mga in-depth reports or anything. A lot of groups actually are releasing their own assessments. Mm-hmm. They call it the people's assessment or SONA or whatever. Yung common denominator na nakikita ko ay parang President Marcos has a lot of good pronouncements, but they're questioning kung meron ba talagang impact or change. And I think yung value din na following up on these residents, on these fisher folks.
Yeah.
Diba, parang you can say a lot of, you can say the correct things, the politically correct things. You can have the good stances, the progressive stances on issues. You can harp about, we need climate change adaptation mitigation measures, etc., so that we can prevent this. You can say all those things in front of the media, in front of limited crowd. But titingnan mo kung ano na yung naging epekto talaga dun sa mga tao na kailangan makaramdam ng mga, kung ano man yung mga platitudes or pronouncements na sinasabi mo.
And I think that's our role as journalists. Na sure, the press releases get reported. We say this is what they said. Ito daw yung priority nila. Pero that's why we have these assessment pieces. That's why we work on this. Kasi ibabangga mo ngayon dyan sa ano talaga yung nangyari. Ano talaga yung in-implement. Pag tinignan mo yung budget, ano yung priority sa budget? Talaga bang kung sinasabi nila na mahalaga to, binibigyan ba talaga ng prioridad in terms of money, in terms of time, in terms of implementation? And that's where we push as journalists. And if we see that it's not getting prioritized, kunyari, ang daming mga pumutok na, hindi lang naman Oriental Mindoro yung nangyari over the past few months, are those issues less? Or kumbaga, hindi ba sila dapat pagtuunan ng pansin? Those are the things that we have to, kumbaga, kaya natin sila nire-report para makita rin ng government natin na, baka ito na-miss nyo kasi sobrang, ano na kayo, laser focus na kayo dun sa what you think is priority. But there are other things that, the other issues na hindi mo, maaaring hindi nakikita ng national government because those are very local issues that are affecting communities. Like this, itong Oriental Mindoro oil spill. At the end of the day, it's a very local story. It's a very, it's a story that affects communities, specific fisher folk na talagang malaking bagay sa economy ng Pilipinas, diba? So, this is very important. Kaya maganda na binalikan natin siya. And speaking of SONA, because minention mo yung SONA kanina, the State of the Nation address of the President is just around the corner. So, ano bang in-expect natin from the speech later this month? Meron ka na bang in-expect?
Speech?
Sabi mo, the oil spill should be there.
Oh, the oil
definitely. Spill. Hindi dapat mawala yung oil spill. Senior, tiningnan ko yung State of the Nation address niya nung first, the first time. And medyo, although na-mention niya yung mga mangingisda, hindi gaanong ka, parang, ano lang, the usual, in passing niya lang binanggit yung mga mangingisda.
Well, truthfully, and personally, ako wala na rin naman ako masyadong ina-expect sa speech ni President Marcos because I think it's going to be safe, kumbaga, or run-of-the-mill. I don't think merong mga malalaking
pronouncements
or promises.
But of course, as we know by tradition, the State of the Nation address, doon niya sinasabi yung priority agenda niya na yun yung ipaprioritize ng Congress for laws.
Yes.
So like, meron ka bang in that sense, meron ka bang expectation?
Well, I don't know if mag-aano siya ng support sa PENCAS, speaking from the environment beat lang, sa PENCAS, the Natural Capital Accounting Bill na pinupush nila Loizaga and 3 senators in the Senate. Maybe, baka, I think, yung focus niya ngayon, other, like.
Pero, didn't they meet? I mean, minute sila ni Loizaga, di ba?
Yeah, oo. Nag-meet sila just recently, I think last week.
And binrief ni Secretary.
About the Geospatial Database Office. So, I think meron mga ganong mababanggit, but nothing.
Not a whimper.
Neither a bang nor a whimper. If you know that reference.
Nabasa mo yung story.
Good thing.
Anyway, so yun. I guess we're going to have to wait.
How about ikaw?
Ako?
May in-expect ka sa speech ni Pangulo.
Pang ilang sona na to. Nang pang ilang presidente na. So, ako, I just wish na whatever he's going to say is the priority or the legislative priority is really a priority for those alam mo yun, na hindi lang siya in the bigger picture, hindi niya maiiwan yung mga communities that are affected by different things, climate change, all these issues in the environment. So siguro tandaan niya lang yun na whatever he says, nagbigay ng
president. Tandaan
niya whatever he says in yun kasi kung ano yung sabihin niya sa SONA niya, yun ang susundan ng Kongreso niya. So that is very important. Bigyan niya ng espasyo ang kalikasan sa kanyang address. And that's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. If you have any story ideas to pitch, you can reach us at
iagozoom on Twitter
or at gheronimo on Twitter and on Instagram. See you in the next episode.
Bye!